Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Beverly Williams is here, too, because she's our good friend. She's a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. Could not do without her. She's the author, along with Don Cooper, of The 30-Second Commute, The Ultimate Guide to Starting and Operating a Home-Based Business. She's the 2002 Home-Based Business Advocate of the Year, chosen by the SBA, long overdue when it was given to her. And she's our good friend. Beverly, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Always glad to be with you.
It's good to have you back. I want to talk about two things today, Beverly. I want to get back into our marketing, $1 million marketing ideas on a shoestring budget that you that you develop. I want to talk about some of that. But I also want you to blend into the conversation, or maybe just in the second segment we'll do this. I want you to give us a little. You've been doing a lot of counseling lately with people who want to start a small business, maybe home-based, maybe not. But they're still micropreneurs. They're still they're still little buds just coming off the off the branch, right?
That's right.
And so I want you to talk to us about some of that. So let's start talking about the marketing. What are some new other ideas that you've got for us to get the word out about our home based businesses?
Well, there's two things that I wanted to mention today. One is about writing an article. Writing an article in a trade magazine, writing an article for a newspaper in your area where your market sees your name. When I say that, people look at me and go, I can't write. Well, yeah, you can, and hopefully you can do some decent writing. If you're a business person, you need to present yourself well, and part of that is in how you write. It may be only a sentence or two that you have to write occasionally, but You need to understand the basics of that. And I think that people don't understand the value of having their name in print. I learned firsthand the power of the press because every time my name appears in print, somebody sees it and says, wow, I know her, or I've heard of her. And every time they see my name or hear see something that I've written or has been written about me, I become more valuable in their eyes. I become the expert in whatever that field is. When I was doing desktop publishing, I often talked about the fact that this was something new and emerging at that time, and there actually was some business reporters who called me and said, you know, I understand you're in this field, and could we do something about that? And I said, you know, how about if I write you up something that I see as happening in this field and how it's going to affect both the businesses and the average person? And so I wrote this article, and it was amazing the number of people who called me because of that, and suddenly I was the expert on desktop publishing. That's one of the ways I became an expert on home-based businesses. I had all the knowledge, but until people knew I had the knowledge, it wasn't of any real help. And as my name got out there in print more and more people would call me for the information I had.
You know, there may be two issues here, Beverly. One is a real issue, and one may be more perceived. A lot of people, you said, a lot of people said, I can't write an article. Well, you know what? Everybody is not created equal in that area, as you know. Even some people, I mean, the smartest editors, the people who know more about words than anybody in the world, can't always put together an interesting article. And you may have more of a flair and more of a color for creating a message that the people would like to read, but maybe you don't have the technical skills to put it together. All that means is you need a little help. That's one thing. That's a real issue that I think people have to deal with. If you're not good at that, at the technical part of writing an article, that doesn't mean that your message can't be good. You just need a little help. Number two, And that this is the one that I think is more perceived as a false thing that people think, and that is that what I know, everybody else knows.
I don't know anything everybody
else knows, so why would anybody want to listen to me?
Mm-hmm.
And if you know your world, if you know your business, if you know your industry, if you've been working in it a while, don't be surprised to find out. You shouldn't be surprised to find out that you probably know stuff. The average person you could talk to, the average prospect you would talk to, doesn't know it.
That's right.
And that's the one I think that takes people down the wrong road more often than not. What do you think?
I agree with you. And a point I want to make before I forget it is that it's not always the, I'm going to say, end user or your client who will actually read the article. If you're writing it for trade magazine in your field and sharing information, and there may be somebody in there who doesn't specialize in the same area that you do of that field, they see that and they refer people to you. So I'm not sure how to put that into words this morning. My mind's not working very well. The person reading the article may not be the person that actually needs to use your product or service, but it may be somebody who knows somebody.
That's right.
Who
That's
needs
right.
to use it. So it's that referral system.
Happens all the time.
Absolutely does. Absolutely does. The power of the printed word is just more than you could ever imagine. And the perceiving of being the perception of who you are when people see your name in print is just very, very powerful.
And there's another thing, Bev, that I think is important for us to touch on here, and in that even though it is powerful, it is actually just one of the tools.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the thing that makes people pay more attention to a product or a person is if they find them in different venues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they see you at the chamber mixer and you're introduced to them, and then the next thing they find out about you is that you've written an article, or you've been, or maybe you've been quoted by a reporter in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Or they heard about you from someone else that you worked with. When people see or hear about you in multiple venues, that also raises your awareness and your credibility.
It does.
So this article just becomes one more way of getting out there.
Right. There was an article in a recent magazine that did exactly that, and I was teaching a seminar, and half the people there had read it, suddenly realized that was me.
Stand by, Beverly. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Beverly Williams, the author of The 30-Second Commute, available wherever books are sold. If you're home-based or want to be, you got to have this book. Stay with us.
Try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Little Fleetwood Mac for you there. One of the great songs, Rhiannon. Beverly Williams is our guest and our good friend, and she's the author of The 30-Second Commute, along with her co-author, Don Cooper. And the book is available wherever books are sold and at Beverly's website. Beverly, give us that one too, please.
That's www.beverlywilliams.com.
All right. Beverly, one of the things that a lot of people might get hung up on, we're talking about how to write an article and use that as a part of your marketing marketing strategy. You know, find a topic that you feel like you know really well.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people will be saying, and I think they can correctly say, you know, okay, that's fine, guys, but you know, what do I do with this article when I write it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what makes you think the paper is going to want it? Or, you know, what magazine would want my article, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that might have been a valid argument, say, even 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But today we have this thing called the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Just write it and post it on your website.
Right.
And if two people read it, that's two people who hadn't read it before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing, Beverly, when you write something and post it on your website, it's amazing how people will find it.
Mm-hmm.
And And I, you know, I've had a lot of my articles that I posted on my website that you know, somebody on the other side of the country or the other side of the world would see it and say, hey, I like that article. Could I print that? Could I reprint that in my industry publication or whatever?
And you say, sure, just give me credit.
But as long as you get the attribution, and you
That's
know, some
right.
depending on the deal, you know, sometimes there's compensation, but not necessarily. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the internet is a great democratizer of content. It really mm-hmm. helps people. And so anyway, that's just one reason to go ahead and do it. Even if you don't have an outlet, if you have a website, you have an outlet.
But if you've developed your marketing plan, which we've talked about many a time, and then you know where you need to be getting your name out to, and you have a target for that article which will reach your target market in one way or another. So if you haven't done your marketing plan yet, do that, and then you'll know where to put this article when you've written it.
Absolutely. Now, let's change subjects just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to give us a little thumbnail about some of the people. You've been doing a lot of counseling with people who want to start a small business.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear what they're asking you. What are they telling you?
They are telling me, first of all, that they're tired of working for somebody else. That it's the same story that not only have I been hearing over the years, but that I've felt myself, and why I got into my own business. That is, tired of working so many hours and so hard for somebody else to make the profit. How can I do this on my own? I want to do this. And it may be the same thing they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, I've had a number of people lately who the people they're working for are ready to retire or move on to something else, and they're willing to sell them the business. And so they're looking at, you know, is this feasible? I applaud them. A lot of the people who come to me have already done a lot of the groundwork as far as figuring out how much money they're going to need, and how do they now go about finding where those funds can come from. Some people know that, you know, they can go to a bank and there are other loan programs available, SBA and so forth, but they're concerned about whether they've thought of everything. And these people really excite me because they are on the right track, they've done a lot of the work, and they're ready to take the next step in being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I find it very energizing to work with these people. About half of them, which is about what the national average is now too, are looking to start a business in their home. Some of them are service businesses where they'll be sitting in a home office using a computer and telephone and so forth. Others are service or product-based businesses such as lawn care service. A lot of construction companies in this area, but there is such a need for so many different types of things in this area, and people are beginning to recognize what that need is and saying, hey, I can fill that hole.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really exciting. Their biggest problem, like everybody else, is trying to figure out whether or not they have looked at all the possibilities, all of the, you know, can I really get this much business? So
I don't worry about those people, the people who who are worried. I'm not worried about the people who are worried that they haven't covered all the bases.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about the people who aren't doing that,
mm-hmm.
who aren't worried about that, who are reacting so much.
You mean the people who come in and say, oh, I've got this business idea and I need about $100,000. Where can I get the money? Where's
right.
your business plan?
Or,
all in my head.
Or you said something a minute ago, I'm tired of working for my boss. I'm tired of him making all the money.
Right.
That's a bad attitude to start a business with.
Yeah, because they have no idea what it takes to make
They have no idea what that boss went through to get to the mm-hmm. point where he might be able to make some money. And they might be surprised to find out that he doesn't make nearly as much money as they think.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, they may know that they bring in, you know, X number of dollars on every job,
right.
but they don't know what else has to be paid for out of that besides their salary.
Blasingame's second law of small business, Beverly, is it's easy to start a small business. It's not easy to operate one successfully.
Not at all.
Beverly, give us your website one more time.
www.beverlywilliams.com.
Thanks, Beverly. See you next time. Good
Thank
job
you.
Today.
I'll be here. Thanks.
Quick break. Right back with Rick Pinion after these messages. 29 after. The show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administer.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.